Conference. All right, I'm going to be finishing up. A couple of weeks ago, I started a message called Staying the Path, and I think I got through 2 points, and so I got another 2 points today, so it kind of works out good. And because for all of us, don't we all want to stay on this path of knowing Jesus, pursuing Him all the days of our life? Don't we want to do that? And don't we all know that sometimes it gets really, really hard to do that? Yeah? No? Gosh, you guys are just amazingly perfect and amazing. But life happens, you know, and I think even as we accept Christ, He empowers us to live the life we are called to live. And sometimes we get a little bit mad because it's not easy. We want it to be easy, but it just isn't. And all of us face stuff, each and every one of us. You know what? The devil tries to kid you into thinking it's only you. Look at everybody else. They seem to be just fine. Look at you. But I want you to know that we all face our stuff. We all face big things in this life. And as we're in our lane, pursuing Jesus, everything can be hunky-dory. Did you say that here? Hunky-dory? Yeah? Good. I think I've got more Americanisms than Australianisms now. Isn't that good? I mean, it's only been 18 years. You know, it only took... All right, so just staying the path. Let's recap the last 2 weeks ago, I think. First point I had was when we just don't understand. And I talked about when Jesus was crucified and Peter, not only did he deny Him, but he was just blown out of the water. How could this be happening? What is going on? This man called Jesus who did miracles, and I saw people raised from the dead and healed, and now he's gone? And yet Jesus... You know when stuff happens in your life, you're like, what? How? And Peter was just, I mean, you can imagine his heart had sunk. I cannot believe this is happening. And yet Jesus appears to him in his resurrected body and says, how are you, friends? How are you, friend? And Peter realizes, oh, something more to the story. Isn't that the way it is a lot of the times? Like, don't you walk through something and you're like desperately going, God, where the heck are you? And then a little further down the track you go, oh, you were there. See, what I thought was plan C or D, you actually said, no, actually we're at plan G. And plan G is really the plan A. You know what I mean? Because His ways are higher than our ways, and they don't look like in our little human brain. You know, I'm a pretty logical person. I'm a math-brained person. That's why Alyssa's a math. She got her math brain from me. So I like sequence. You know, that makes sense to me. But Jesus is math-brained and English-brained and creative-brained. And so it's just not going to He's not going to formulate in my life exactly the way I think it should be. Because His ways are higher. And it requires faith through this journey. So anyway, I better not get it. It's a whole nother. Second thing is we talked about offenses. Remember we talked about the disciples who were fighting over, okay, not just discussing or talking about, but the Bible says they were fighting over who was the greatest. Isn't it funny, even in church, we do that? Well, I'm more spiritual than her. In fact, I heard that just this last week. Someone saying, well, I've always been more spiritual than the people in my world. I mean, hello? Like, seriously? Come on. We are all sinners saved by grace. When we start going, well, I'm more, it's like, okay, right there, stop. Right now. Who's the greatest? You better start serving away, people. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, the greatest is the servant of them all. And remember I talked about my girlfriend, because all this stuff gets in our heart. You know, we look at someone the wrong way. They look at us the wrong way. We think we're more spiritual. They think all this stuff that goes back and forth and a host of other things. But remember I talked about my girlfriend who's a little bit older than me and she got her feelings hurt. Do you remember that? And she went home to her husband because someone, you know, hadn't invited her somewhere. And, you know, it can be just little stuff, right, that gets in her heart. And so she went home and talked to her husband and said, you know, I got my feelings hurt and da-da-da. And that's it. I think this friendship might be just, it's changing. And he said, well, okay, you could do that. He said, but think about in 10 years, what do you want this? She hasn't done anything nasty or mean. It's just in your perception, she hasn't been the friend that you would expect her to be. You know, sometimes we put, don't we put unrealistic expectations on people? It's like, okay, the bar is here and you keep hitting here. So if you want to be my friend, we're going to be bigger. We're going to be, I believe that Jesus is calling us as women, Christian women, to have hearts that are big and can just embrace this, you know, embrace people and not be taken out because, well, my friend, you know, it's like, just get over it, girls. Come on, let's be better than this. All right, point number three. Are we okay? We still loving life? Are we still, whew? All right, point number three. We don't stay our path when we view our failure as fatal. Anyone viewed their failure as fatal? That's it. I mean, look at my life. I mean, I'm supposed to be a Christian, and look what keeps happening. Look at the decisions I keep making. You know, I love that every week we have an addiction recovery group that meets in our church. And the truth is, it doesn't matter. You know, you might have, I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing because the truth is we all need to surround ourselves with people that are helping us on this journey. We might not have a legitimate addiction, but we all got something in our life, right, that we need help with. And I love that we have that. I love that people come in here and every week are vulnerable enough to go, this is my stuff. And that other people are there and going, you know what, I was where you are, but I'm just a little bit further, and let me tell you down the track, and let me tell you how I got there. And they take people by the hand and go, no, you're not a failure. You're absolutely not a failure. But failure can be in many different forms. Maybe there's secrets that we harbor in our heart. Maybe we have just compulsively lie about things. We don't really know why we do, but we just do. It's just like an issue in our character. And you know what? We're all on a journey of developing character, hey? I mean, I'm 53. I'm still like, I got a lot of character to develop. But all those things we feel like disqualify us. Sometimes I think we feel like we can't live up to this Christianity. I mean, Jesus, he came into my life. I hear about it. I accepted Christ. He's come into my life. I know he's empowered me to live this life. But oh my gosh, I just keep missing the mark. Or I have this illness, and it's just weighing me down, understandably. But I feel like if I'm not healed or if I'm still have this illness, then there's something wrong with me. I've failed. Do you know there was a friend of ours, or there are some friends of ours, husband and wife. And the husband, they pastored a church in Phoenix, Arizona. And we met them a number of years ago. They introduced themselves to us. We were at a pastor's conference. And the husband, who was the pastor of, you know, his wife pastored the church, had four children. As we were talking to them, told us that he'd just been diagnosed with an illness. It was like ALS, but even worse. Had a completely different, very, very long name. He said when the doctors finally landed on the diagnosis, they said to him, don't go home and Google it. Just whatever you do, don't, because it's just awful. And do you know, this guy just beautifully walked out his salvation. I mean, just beautifully. He kept pastoring the church, and you know, you could watch his body just slowly shriveling. Like, and I remember friends of ours asked him to speak at their conference, and he got up on the, you know, he needed help up on the platform, and he was talking about, you know, when he would get up every morning in bed, he would have to rock like this and literally get up and then whoop back down, and he'd be rocking and then he'd get up. And we were just like, but he loved Jesus so much, and he never gave up believing that God could heal him, but he trusted God implicitly. Well, I remember there were some young people at the conference who said, what a shame he doesn't have enough faith. And And you know, there is thinking around like that. And let me just show you what the Bible says. You know, in Mark, there was a man who had a little boy who kept having seizures. He had like a demonic oppression over his life. You know, if we want to go down that track of you don't have, well, you're not healed because you don't have enough faith. That's just mean Christianity. Because Mark chapter 9, there's a man there and he has a little boy who's constantly seizing and gnashing his teeth and just, as you can imagine, desperate. And he goes up to Jesus and says, you know, he's talking to Jesus and his disciples, and this is my son, and Jesus, if you can you do something? And Jesus stops in his steps and said, if I can? If I can. And Mark 9:24, this is what the Bible says. Immediately, so Jesus says, if I can? Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me when the storm's raging and doubts come. Jesus, I got to hang on to you because right now everything in me is going, I'm going down, you know. And so Jesus immediately heals this young boy. This demon comes out and this boy is healed. So it's not levels of faith. It's not, because all of us are flawed in our faith. All of us are. We hope and we trust and we do everything we know to do to trust God. We go and see amazing doctors. So Greg passed away just about a year ago. And yet his wife so beautifully will tell you the people that have come to Christ watching Greg on that journey. And so, you know what? Sometimes things happen. I remember my son-in-law prayed for his father-in-law, his stepdad, to be healed. He went to heaven, which, hey, heaven's pretty amazing. But sometimes life doesn't look the way we think it should. And we think there's something, it's my prayers that didn't work. It's me. And you know what? God's ways are higher. There is nothing you can do that can take you out of the race that God has called you to run. Nothing. Unless you just do an about faith and go, that's it, I don't want to do it. And so when the storms come, when life hits, when people walk out of your life that you thought would be in there forever, I know some girls have said to me, you know, divorce has never been in my family and I'm divorced. Felt like they failed. And I just say, sweetheart, you know what? You're not the first and you won't be the last. I'm so sorry you have to walk through this, but you have so much ahead. God has, he's not shocked. He's not shocked where you are. He's really excited for all that's ahead. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that good to know? His power is made perfect in weakness. Point number four, thinking we don't need accountability in our lives. When we think we don't need accountability in our lives. You know, accountability is an interesting word. It's a word that gets thrown around a lot. We like it when young people throw it around. Because as we get older, we're like, yeah, you need that. Right? Isn't that the truth? Your young person comes home and goes, oh, I've got some accountability with. We're like, oh. Can all the angels do the hallelujah chorus together with me? Right? But do you know, we never graduate from needing accountability. I don't care whether we're 53, 63, 73, 83, 93, 103. We all need people in our lives who will weigh in with godly wisdom, who we go to and go, okay, I'm thinking this, what do you, and you're expecting them to say, oh, that is amazing and perfect. And they go, let's just walk back a little bit and let's talk about this. We don't like that, right? It's like, excuse me, I know what I'm doing. Some of the young guys go, but I'm a man now. I'm like, yeah, you are. You're a man. Okay? It's like me saying, well, I'm a woman. Yeah, I am. I'm a woman. Hear me roar. I know what's going on. No, it just doesn't work like that. So let's look at what the Bible says. I love this parable. Love it. Matthew 21 through 15. We're going to read a big chunk of scripture. Is that okay? And I think the guys beautifully will have it up on the screens for us. For the kingdom of heaven is like. Oh, I love it when Jesus starts a parable and he starts it. For the kingdom of heaven is like. This is how, what he's saying is this is how heaven operates, okay? Just giving you a little insight into how heaven operates. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He then went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Now, I know how the rest of this parable goes, so at this point, I want a front row seat to this, because I want to see how people behave. It's not nice sometimes. Bible says the workers, this is what I love about Jesus. He's putting it out there. This is how the kingdom works. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius, because Jesus says, I want you to pay the last ones hired first. Ugh. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, because in our mind, our perspective is, I deserve more. I work longer, that's fair. But the kingdom of heaven doesn't operate like that. Isn't that a shocking realization? The kingdom of heaven doesn't operate to what I think is fair. And the truth is, I need people around me to weigh in and give me perspective and say, no, what you're thinking there, that's not how the kingdom of heaven operates, right? But what we do is we get in a corner and go, it's not fair, and rah, 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 rah. Okay, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go." Didn't you agree? Like when you accepted Christ, didn't you go, "I'm all in. So wherever, whatever, okay, then it's time for me to..." Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. No, I want to be over there doing that. But he answered one of them, "I'm not being offended. Didn't you agree? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Boy, there's so many things you can pull out of that. But have you ever heard yourself going, "Well, I thought if God loved me then..." No, we're not that manipulative, are we? No, of course not. I thought if I was a believer then, I thought if I've given God everything then, he should march to my own beat. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. Well, what are you saying? Gosh, this just hits you right between the eyes, don't you think? Why do we get off our path? Because sometimes we don't get into the Word. with people who can instruct us and help us pull out what does the Word say about that. I don't know how countless conversations I've had with people, and they'll have arrived at something and I'll say, well, what does the Word say about that? It hasn't even been a filter that they've used. And girls, I want to encourage us. We've got to have people in our world, accountability, go-to people who are not just going to pat us on the back, who are not just going to pat us on the shoulder and just get in a pit with us. They're going to say, you know what? You're thinking that you are owed more. You're thinking that you are better than. You're thinking that you're too good to do is wrong, wrong, wrong. You know, recently we had a staff retreat with Paula Marie de Jong. And you know, Marie beautifully got up and talked about something she was walking through that was extremely difficult. And she didn't share what it was, but she said, I heard myself going, God, I can't believe you. She said, I never thought. And this is what I want to say to all of us, why we all need accountability in our lives, because it doesn't matter how long you have been a believer. There are going to be things that happen in your life that you will not understand. And left to your own devices, you will go down a path that's not, you're not in the journey next to the girlfriend. You take yourself off. And you know what? Left to our own devices, we get weird. Can I tell you? Like really weird. We come up with our own theology and think we're right. And it's like, oh, no. And so she said, I realized I was going down a path that wasn't good. And I need to gather the prayer warriors around me, the girls who could lift my arms up in a battle, because at the moment there's no rhyme or reason or answer why this is happening. It just is. And I've got to put the armor on and just go, all right, I'm here, God, and I'm pursuing you. Though it's killing me on the inside, I'm pursuing you with everything within me. Girls, I want us to stay the path. I want us to stay this path of pursuing Jesus with everything we've got, not just in the good times, because it's in the real hard stuff, isn't it? That, boy, God molds our character and changes it to be more Christ-like and builds humility into our world. And God knows our world needs some good, pure humility, don't you think? Some people who aren't beating them over the head, but just saying, hey, let me hold your hand and take you on a journey where you can meet Jesus and he can bring radical life change into your life. I'm going to get the band to come back up. The longer I do this life, the more I realize only Jesus. I could have made some really stupid decisions. In the heat of the moment, when you're having an argument with your husband, maybe it lasts a few days, maybe sometimes it lasts a few weeks. This is just too hard. If I was making all the decisions around here, this would be so much better. Yeah, right. Yeah. Because that's what happens. We just get off our path a little bit and think, well, I'm going to take these. I'm going to get in the driver's seat and drive it myself. Maybe there's stuff that's happened, not just in marriage relationships, but you've got a child that's just, it's just difficult right now. Only Jesus. Maybe we prayed for finances before and, you know, there's a sense that, oh God, only Jesus. Keep his face in front of you. Look up and see his face ahead of you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's placed you here alongside sisters for such a time as this. It's not an accident. It's not like, oh, wow, look, I just ended up here. It's for his divine plan and purpose. He has so much ahead of for you. But it's not always going to be smooth sailing. Stay the path, girls. You don't have to understand everything. Just let that go. Okay, God, I just trust you. I'm not gonna I don't have to understand it, because you won't. God, I've just got to keep my heart, please. The number of times that I've prayed, God, help me keep a sweet spirit, because right now I want to punch people in the face. Because I know you've never thought that. When we see our failure as fail, it's not. I promise you, we've all failed. We've all fallen short. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short. So there you go. Just deal with it. We've all fallen short. But God says, come on, off you go. When we have great accountability in our lives, people that weigh in, people that we will yield, because isn't that a big thing too, yielding? Oh, well, maybe I don't have it all. So I want to pray for us this morning. We spent some time praying already, but I just think this is just such a great series that we've been doing. Something that we always need to address, isn't it? Stay in the path, making sure I'm in my lane. Not trying to be better than anyone else, because it just the kingdom of heaven does not operate like that. You want to be the greatest? You start, so you'd be the least, you'd be the greatest servant of all. Well, Father, I just pray for us as women. Beautiful Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that we get to do this life knowing you personally. That God, you lead us and guide us. Oh my goodness, you are too good. You are too good to us. You are such a good, good Father. That's who you are. And we are totally, truly, completely loved by you. That's who we are. Father, I pray you would settle that in our hearts this morning. And you know, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to give you, each of you beautiful girls, an opportunity to know Jesus. Maybe you've prayed a prayer and accepted Christ, but you know, yeah, you're not on the path right now. Oh yeah, your heart, just a little bit hard. Maybe you've walked away just a little bit. Or maybe you've been raised in church and you didn't know that you could personally know him. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. Or maybe you've never heard the message of the saving grace of Jesus. This morning, I would love to pray with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make you stand up. We're just going to pray a prayer. Everyone, in fact, everyone's going to pray with you. And so if that's you this morning, I want you to lift your hand and say, Sharon, yes, could you pray for me this morning? I need to know Jesus, or I need to come back home to Jesus. All across this auditorium, if that's you, just lift your hand. Just give me a little wave and I'll see you. And we will pray with you and we will pray for you. Don't be shy, honey. Don't be shy. Just lift your hand this morning. Beautiful sweetheart. Anyone else this morning who just wants to say, Sharon, could you pray with me? Could you pray that I would know Jesus personally? Fantastic. Well, let's pray with that sweet, beautiful girl who raised her hand this morning. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. And right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Thank you for forgiving my sin. And thank you that today I walk out of here a Christian. Christ in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we congratulate beautiful girl?